This is our image. I want to start with that because it's part of some 3D work that I was doing on for the lesson. Just a personal interest of mine, being a graphics guy like I am, but I thought it would really help set the stage of what Kyle and I are talking about today. And while we just sang the song about the walls tumbling down in Jericho, the reason that those fell was because those people were not doing what God's will was. God's people causes to fall. And what we are going to talk about today is keeping things tightly secured. When you see a truck going down the freeway and you see a big load on there, a big roll of steel, you're going to see a lot of chains in most places, and that's to make sure that load stays firm. So keep this mental metaphor in your mind today. As Kyle talked about, the title of today's lesson are Links in the Chain. He talked about this verse, and it's a verse that he goes to frequently, and I really appreciate the fact that he does that, because as we've talked about this, I've got a couple points on here, we talk about this being the Great Commission. This was the work that Jesus wanted his apostles to go and do. And what we're contrasting that with, kind of by accident, but based on the subject matter, is we're talking about what some refer to as the limited commission. The apostles were sent out in Matthew chapter 10 to basically prepare them for this point we're at here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Kyle covered it well, but I've made things bold and in black up on the screen before you. Hopefully you can see it up there. The things that we most want to focus on. Jesus told them to go therefore and make disciples of nations. So that's going to be talking about us. But the more important thing is to teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. So we sometimes see this passage and we think, well, the apostles really had a lot of work to do and they had to go through that the whole New Testament and now we just try to follow Jesus. Well, that's not true. Jesus said, teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Yes, they did have some special gifts that we do not have today, but the majority of all that we have. So the bullet points, the Great Commission is what this is talking about. And this idea, I've kept that metaphor of the link and the chain in the background of all my slides on here because I want us to not stop thinking about that. The link in the chain is as Christ talked about here. There's God, there's Christ, there's these apostles, and there's us. We are the next link in that chain, and I just want you to keep that in your mind. But as of the image I have on there, you don't see the beginning of it and you don't see the end of it, because if we are living the type of life that God wants us to live, there's going to be links added to us for years, maybe decades, maybe hundreds of years, if God allows the earth to survive that long, based on our faithfulness. Because even though we don't put our faith in people, the legacy of us teaching others will be links in those chains. So keep that in mind. Go therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, Abe talks about this a lot in class. Therefore means, okay, based on what I just told you, do this. Well, what did Jesus just tell them? He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, so do this. And so that's one thing we want to remember. He has all authority. Again, passing that baton, the same thing we've talked about. Disciples. Kyle talked about the definition of what an expository was. Well, what is a disciple? We know that probably, but we don't think too much about these definitions. A disciple is simply a pupil or an adherent, somebody that adheres to the doctrines of another, or a follower. So again, when I'm talking about what we pass down through the generations, we are a disciple of Christ. We are not apostles of Christ. We are disciples of Christ if we are Christians. I really like this point. This kind of came to me, and I think we've probably all thought about this, but I don't think we think about it this exact way. Baptism and baptizing is a certification to become a Christian. So when it says, I want you to go, you disciples, go to all these nations and baptize them, that is basically certifying people to become Christians. And the reason I put that on there is because I've talked about the analogy, when somebody graduates college, when they graduate high school, you get in front of your whole class, you walk down in front of your whole class, your whole family, and the administrators of that school say, you did it. Here's your certification. But when we think about people accepting the gospel, becoming a Christian, coming and saying, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they go down into the waters of baptism, we mix that up again. And it's the same principle. You are certifying before other people that you believe without a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So keep that in mind, certification. The passages I'm going to be reading are going to be going on. So Matthew chapter 10, 27 through 42, follow up what Kyle had. Feel free to follow along in your Bibles if you have it. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So application. First of all, whatever I tell you in the dark. Throughout the New Testament, we see this example. And remember, specifically here in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is talking to His apostles. Some examples that I have. While Peter thought about this vision in Acts chapter 10, 19, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." This is my way of trying to help us understand what this "whatever I tell you in the dark" is. We see in multiple times in the New Testament that the apostles are given special insight to things, whether they say it was a vision or a dream, as in this case. We see these things that maybe aren't visible to others, but are visible to these apostles. In this case, just like Kyle touched on, this is where Cornelius is being talked to by the angel, and while Peter is also being talked to, and things are getting ready to change, even though Peter really never expected the Gentiles to get the gospel, he was doing the same thing that he did in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 69, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" So again, an apostle getting information that is not visible to others. "Speak in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." I love the passage in Acts chapter 4:20 when the apostles are put into prison and they say, "You guys need to shut up about this God, this Christ. Put it out of your minds." He's like, we cannot but speak the things that we've seen and heard. Why were these men that Kyle talked about, all these different trades these people have, why were they called to be apostles? They were called to witness who Christ was. Christ could have said He was anybody, but He had people that were just regular people, and we know regular people are usually more astute at recognizing frauds than anybody else. And He said, "We've seen this guy. We know what he did. We know the power that he has. You are not going to shut us up." And as Kyle talked about, most of those people went to the death to defend Him. "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Make an analogy there. James 1:21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So we're talking about being afraid of God and the power that He has, but recognizing He has the power to send us to hell or to eternal life with Him. So how do we do that? Well, the verse there, the very last part, "which is able to save your souls." So we have to put some things out of our mind and we have to accept other things. Talking about the sparrows and their value and how none of them fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. I think this is an important verse, as well as other places in the Bible, to recognize that God does control things. I'm definitely a person that believes that God allows things to happen, but He also has control of the situations too. "The very hairs of your head are numbered." Just think about that. It gets easier and easier for some of us guys for God to keep track of the hairs on our head, but it's still a difficult thing. I love the psalmist in 139. "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." I went to my first Bengals game, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, and I was looking across the stadium, and all the people over there were thousands of them, not as many as there normally are when they actually play well, but there were still thousands of them out there. I was looking at them, and they're just, to me, perspectively, they're people that big. And yet, when I'm looking at my hands, and I can see the blood vessels, and I see how my joints work, and just think how great God is, that people just 100 yards away from me can be hard to see, and God knows the depths of our thoughts. Just amazing. Think about that. Matthew verse 32 and 33, we've talked about this, but I want to look at the top part. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." So again, we've got this very well-made chain, this chain that's joined, going straight up to heaven, and we are a part of that. We're linked in there. Well, what about the contrast to that? "But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father is in heaven." So how do we break that chain? You know, if a chain is holding something important down and it snaps, it doesn't matter what it is, it's probably going to roll away or break. Something bad is going to happen. We are these links. We are the ones that are either denying Christ or we are living up to what He's asked us to do. As the first verse pointed out, if we are confessing and we're following Christ, we're locked into that chain. We're hooked into Him and we're not going to be severed. But we are the ones that decide whether we're going to break or not. We are the ones that will either deny or accept Christ. And so we could be a broken chain here. Continuing with verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So this is kind of a continuation of what he talked about with Kyle's lesson. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I have found, and this really is what drove me to request Kyle and I work on this lesson together. This passage right here is really something that impacts every one of us. Individually, our families, our salvation, whether we share the gospel or not, this is some scary stuff. We love to be loved. We loved our families to be loved. We want attention from them. And we know sometimes when you get into spiritual and religious conversations, there's division, as was talked about with Kyle. So let's break this up. Not thinking I came to bring peace on earth, but I came to bring a sword. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit." Pay attention to this last part. "Of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So when Christ is talking about this family relationship you get into, the thoughts and relations of the heart are the things we struggle with. It's our emotional well-being. And so this sword that He's coming is to separate us between this emotional attachment, like we talked about in class, with this world, and our emotional attachment with Christ and God. Talks about this family relationship here, talking about the man and the father and mother and daughter and so on. I'm going to keep this bullet point on here for a few of these other sentences on here. We're talking about the difference between God, Christ, the church, versus family. In all these cases, it's a restating of those same things over and over and over again. So when we're talking about these people, the man's enemies of his house, the reason they're enemies is because they're opposing the relationship that we need to have with God and Christ. Same thing here. Father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So you got your in-laws, and you've got your brothers and sisters and mom and dad and stuff, but then you've also got your mom and dad. Who's most important to your life? Who created you? Your mother and father. Well, again, they can be the ones that separate you from a true relationship with God and Christ. Okay, what about son or daughter? So you've got a family of your own. Same problem can exist. Oh, sorry, too fast. So he who does not take his cross and follow after me. Well, look at this. Another thing that we may not think about from this passage. We've talked about all these family members, and we think about, okay, family sometimes is difficult for us. This one says, you're dealing with yourself. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We have to sometimes pick up and follow after Christ and give up the things that we have that we feel are important to us. Otherwise, we don't have this proper relationship. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Again, all this stuff that we talked about. What is philosophy? It's basically the way people look at things. Not how God looks at things, but the way people look at things. And that's one thing that we see so much in the schools. Basically, if you're going to be trying to make everything work out in this world, that's up to you. But you're not going to find God that way. You have to put all that aside if you want to try to follow Christ. 40 through 42, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say, he shall no means lose his reward. So again, this idea of the chain. If we're basically receiving the Word of Christ, we're receiving the Word of God. All those things connect. From where we're at, going up to heaven is connected. The same thing is true for these things. And these verses, there's not a lot of, I know Kyle, like Kyle, I was trying to avoid commentaries, but I was trying to really cut through some of this because it is a little bit confusing. But the more I dug into it and the more insight that I tried to glean from this passage, is basically a prophet is a representative of God. And if a prophet is representing God and he's teaching someone about what God wants them to do, what's the reward? Well, the reward is what that prophet is bringing you. That is good news. The same is true for a righteous man. If we are righteous, you know, the Bible tells us there's none righteous, but it also tells us that if we're doing the word of Christ, we're living that life, we can be considered by God righteous. If we are righteously trying to give people the information on how to be a Christian, how to find God, the reward there is for them also to take part in the same thing. And then this idea of locking the chain too, a very similar approach to just being a link. But whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of water in my name, surely I say to you, he shall no means lose his reward. You know, a link is going to be pretty strong, but when we see a lock around the chain, that means it can be removed. But it means, in this case, that reward is secure as long as you're doing what you want to. And I almost went ahead and really went with a metaphor and put master on that lock, but because we've seen too many master locks, like, I better give him a break here. But that is still, even though we might smile about that, that is true. That chain can be opened and closed at any point. That's what it is about being a Christian. We are sinners, we're not sinning. We are sinners, we're not sinning. We do that all the time. That lock is open and closed, just like when you're trying to secure something at home. If it stays locked, everything is secure, so we need to be very careful about that. Going back up to this passage again, disciples and baptism is really what this whole thing boils down to. And it says, all things that I've commanded you. We talked about this yesterday. I was talking with Dad, and my brother-in-law's being baptized. Certainly baptism is important, but hearing, you have to hear the gospel first. So that's how this chain, and I'll show you some images from how it's made. One of my shows that I enjoy watching on the Discovery Channel, I think it is, or History Channel. James used to watch it a lot too, but we'll get into that in just a second. But part of that chain is just all these links, hearing. You can't know anything about the gospel if you don't hear about it. You can't believe anything about the gospel if you haven't already heard about it. You can't repent from doing something the way you're doing it unless you've heard that it may not be right and you believe that you need to make change. And you're not going to confess something that you don't know anything about. Those things all have to come in links. And finally, we talk about baptism. Baptism is the certification, if you will, of what I started talking about. Something else that I was hoping I could squeeze in here, and I think I do have time. Remember the song, Christ has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. The word disciple, as we defined it up there, is basically a follower. My hands are followers. If I want to pick up my Bible, my brain, I don't think about it. My brain says, use your hands, use your arms, pick up this Bible. It has become my disciple. If I want to walk over here by this plant, my feet did the same thing. They were my disciples. They followed the information from my brain. Our disciples can be our hands. They can be our eyes. They can be our ears. The same things the kids' songs were about. Where are our disciples going? How much control are we having of our disciples? Are they leading us into places that are bad? Or are they doing what Christ was trying to do with His disciples, making them only do good things and try to lead them into the kingdom? So, just a small thought there for you to kind of add to your list of Roger metaphors. In the latter part of Acts chapter 2:47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I don't expect you to write down that little short URL there, but if you can see that, I do have it printed out. You can check it out if you want to. But how it's made is the program that's on the Discovery Channel. And what it does is it takes everyday objects and it does a whole video explaining you how they work. Kind of like the breakaway that Kyle showed on the stove that he had a picture of. They show how you make the whole thing. Well, in this case, I was trying to see if they had anything on making a chain, because I'm always kind of curious about it. Now, you saw, if you go back here to my pictures of my chain, boy, those links are smooth and they're seamless. Well, that's not really how they're made. If you really look at a chain, you're going to see a little gnarled ball joint on every single one of them. Because here's how they're made. You see that thing up there on you, and hopefully it's visible enough. What happens is a chain is basically a big, long piece of rod. It's a rod of metal. The bigger the chain is, the bigger the rod is. And what happens is they're cut in pieces, and they're wrapped around metal. A machine does that very quickly. Think about this when it comes to us as Christians in our lives with God. We, we are going the straight way. We are going the way that we want to go, and it's probably not the way God wants us to go in most cases. Otherwise, He wouldn't call us to repentance. When it says in Acts chapter 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, that is a result of what we just talked about here. That rod was hurt. Somebody had to hear, believe, repent, confess, and then they were baptized. There was a lot of deforming in the process of those people's lives, of our lives, when we were going that straight way. But we were broken off, we were separated from this life as a normal human being, and we were bent to the will of God. So this is the first stage of how you do a chain. You break off a piece of metal, a rod, and you bend it around a shape. Next, they fit that through the chain links, and they actually take those pieces and they hook them together, and they're welded. The temperatures, I forget what they said it was, but the temperatures were just unbelievable how hot they do that. But I think about that, that idea of grafting the Bible talks about. We are grafted into this unnatural tree, and God bends us to His will. It's not an easy process. We are going to have trouble adjusting to it, but that's how we become part of this link. And you can see in that picture, if you look right up there, if I can get the right button, I don't turn this thing off. That's a chain that hasn't been welded yet. This one has. That one's in the process of it. Next step. So all these chains are hooked together. Now they're heated, and they go into this really, really hot bath to be tempered. We've had plenty of lessons. I've given some, others have given some, about tempering. And they cool that chain down slowly. So, because right now, if that thing cooled, you could take a hammer and hit that. If you've ever seen a blacksmith, they can hit that once it cools, and it will probably break apart. If any of you like taffy like I do, and I really like Laffy Taffy and those kind of things, if you've ever found it, I'll give you something to try. Probably not around your mom and dad, and definitely keep it outside. Pick up a bar of Laffy Taffy, go outside when it's cold, and whack it on the ground. It will bust into 1,000 pieces. You can try it. Just don't do it around places you'll get in trouble. But this chain is being cooled slowly. Why do we have the church? The church helps new Christians change the life that they had slowly, getting understood about what the gospel requires. The next thing, and I skipped some processes on here, but here's where it all matters. This machine actually grabs a hold of the chain. Once it's gone through the process of being all hooked together, it's welded, it's cooled multiple times, it's got a really good strong rigidity here. And what this thing does is it grabs that chain. And this is a pretty substantial chain. If you watch the video, they stretch it and it goes, I mean, it actually pulls like a rubber band. It's like, oh. Well, here's what can happen. Sometimes those chain links break. All of our lives, once we're a Christian, we are going to be in that machine that's doing this to us. It's always going to be there. It's never going to go away. The key is trying not to break. And the thing is about that, sometimes we will. We will have fractures in our lives. We will snap. But just like that chain was made, it can be put back together again. But it requires our diligence in following, living our lives with the church. It includes confessing our problems. And just like anything else, sometimes when things break like that, they have to be worked on pretty hard. So my last question, and I'll hopefully end before midnight. If the apostles, now clear everything else out of your mind, go back to when we first started. If the apostles had done what you've done or not done to this day, to this very day, with the gospel and teaching of Christ, where would the church be today? I have to ask that question, and I want all of you to ask that same question. So we're talking about chains, we're talking about links, we're talking about the history of the church. It's all in here. If I was Peter, Kyle did the first lesson, if he was Paul or he was another apostle, and I went through everybody in here and I said, okay, you are this apostle, your life needs to be replaced by theirs. I'm going to put you back in time, and your life right now is what they were living. Would we have the church today? Now think about that chain image I gave you, because that is where we're at. We are at a junction in this chain where I'm a link. I'm either one of these links, if I get the right button, or I'm one of these links. Every other chain link there is going to have a dangerous time remaining connected to where it should be if that's my condition. And so I'm asking you this time, the song that's been selected for our invitation, seriously take pause, think about your life, try to take all those different Roger metaphors and pictures, and think about your condition right now. The invitation is a real thing. Baptism is a real thing. If you're not a child of God, you cannot be part of this chain. There's just no chance. It doesn't matter how good looking of a link you are, you will not be part of that chain. And if you are a Christian, and you have any stress fractures right there, the only way to get past that was the prayers and the support of your home congregation with Christ and God. So I invite all of you at this time, if you have any needs, please be seated on the front and let us know what we can do to help as we stand and sing.